Well, now, that also means that in and through prayer, the covenantal relationship between the Father and his children is brought to expression. I want to say that with emphasis here, in order to warn against a misleading understanding of the structure of the Lord's Prayer. All too quickly, you see, the conclusion is drawn that, beginning with the fourth petition, the attention, or if you will, the focus of this prayer is finally going to be on us and on our needs. But we must remember it well. Prayer is never a matter of first God getting his share, as per the first three petitions of this prayer, and then we getting our share too, as per the last three petitions of this prayer. When you think about that for a moment, you understand why such could never be the case. Because, you see, that would mean that the concerns of the Father and the concerns of his children are two very different things. And that, see, that may never be the case. Think of it. The Father is concerned about the well-being of his children, right? Isaiah expresses that in a very striking way when he says, in all there, that is in all Israel's afflictions, he, the Lord, he was afflicted. But also, the children are, they must be, concerned about the honor of their Father who is in heaven. As imitators of Christ, they are always to be engaged in the business of their Father. Think of it. The children of the Father don't have a private world. That is, they don't have a world of their own, and they don't have an independent of the Father business, a business which somehow or other can be operated alongside of that of the Father. Rather, with the psalmist, we confess, whom have I, Lord, in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire beside you. Well, now, in our prayer, we address God as our Father. That means that we, through Christ's atoning work, to be sure, we are children of the Father again. And see, it is as children of the Father that we pray that the Father's name be hallowed, that his kingdom come, and that his will be done. And just so, that is, as children of our Heavenly Father, just so we now also pray for our daily bread. Oh no, not in order that we may now finally focus on things that really concern us, on things that are of interest to us and our business. No, rather, we so pray in order that the Father may be glorified by us, also herein. So we listen now to the fourth petition. Give us this day our daily bread. We will see that the prayer for our daily bread is to be seen as it is to be confessed to be a sacrifice of praise of the child of God to the Father who is in heaven. Remember, it is our mandate to bless, to worship, and to praise the name of the Lord. Well, now, therein, in that mandate, if you will, therein lies explained our need for food and drink. And that is why we need money for clothing and shelter. After all, if we don't have those things, well, then we can't live anymore. And if we can't live, well, then we won't have the breath to praise the Lord. See, that is also why we pray for the forgiveness of our debts, that is, of our sins, because you see, as long as our debt, our sin, rests on us, it bears us down. And then we cannot praise the Lord as we ought. And yes, that is why we may pray for deliverance from evil and from all the attacks of the evil one. Because, you see, if God did not hold us by the hand, we would surely go under in the depths of Satan. The whole world, remember, with all of its forms and shapes and colors and possibilities and characters, yes, the whole world was created to bring praise to the Creator. Oh, yes. The murmur of the ocean waves, the rustling of the trees, the singing of the birds, they are all a choir in His temple. They sing His praise. They glorify His holy name. Well, now, in that world, we find our daily bread, as also in that world, we fulfill our office and our calling. And see, all of that life, which we know so well and is so very familiar to us, that whole life is totally and completely and only bound up with the hallowing of God's holy name. Once that is clear, it will also become clear that in the last three petitions of the Lord's Prayer, we are, after all, not really asking for anything so very different from what we asked in the first three petitions of that prayer. See, we now pray, Father, hallowed be your name. Let it be hallowed also in the bread which we eat, in the forgiveness of sins which we receive, and in the deliverance from all temptations. There you see, there you have the heart and core of the fourth petition. But all too often, it strikes us as strange when it is said that way. Yes, it strikes us as strange, as something foreign to our daily awareness. After all, we pray, give us this day our daily bread. This day, that is the here and now, that is the familiar world of the present. Here we think, here we stand in the world of our daily experience. As a matter of fact, when it really comes down to it, even our neighbor stands outside of that world. After all, what does my neighbor really know about my cares and my struggles and my sighing and tears? This day, my daily bread. That is my personal belonging, is it not? Another has to keep hands off, doesn't he? It's mine. I acquired it by my own strength. And if we do then look beyond the boundaries of our personal domain, why then we are encouraged, yes, then we are tempted to think that we are being looked after, that we are in fact being protected. Oh no, not by the Lord God, but by a great and powerful state. It is fearless. It is technically organized through and through. It has its Uncle Sam's and Uncle Whoever's to look after all our needs for food and drink, in health and sickness, in riches and poverty. Isn't that so? And if we are, then move beyond that, why then we think about nature, the sun, the clouds, the rain and wind, the land and the seed, the laws of growth and fruit bearing. Yes, we are tempted to think that that unchangeable laws have given some certainty to nature. They, those laws of nature, they are trustworthy. They will not deceive. There will be crops. Ah, yes, there must be crops. And yes, then the question of our daily bread seems pretty sure. It seems to be predictable with a great measure of certainty. Somehow, that line of thinking makes sense to us, doesn't it? But the word of the Lord addresses us today. It tells us, it teaches us to pray, Father, give us this day our daily bread. And then it dawns on us, this prayer, this petition, it can only be prayed by those who are, after all, not so sure about their daily bread, even though they may have their pockets full of money. Yes, it can only be prayed by those who are not so at ease because they have seen the justice of the Lord as a threatening thunderstorm above their working hands, above the industrious state, above the fields of waving grain. Oh yes, our hands may indeed have earned our living 1,000 times over, but they have lost the right to life. And society may be organized to a T, but the judgment touches the very foundations of our society. And the rhythm of nature, seed time and harvest time, that rhythm may indeed be unbroken, but all these things too are going to pass away. Remember it well, none of it, has any existence in itself. Yes, inasmuch as these things exist in themselves, they stand condemned. Remember, the Lord will require the blood of those hard-working hands, and that society shall crumble to pieces like Babylon of old, and that nature will become darkness. Because, you see, this petition is not just about our bread by itself. Oh no, rather, this is about the name of the Lord therein. It is about the name of the Lord in that bread. You see, we're not first of all praying about a mouthful of food here. Rather, we are praying for the hallowing of God's name here. Also, in and by means of the bread which we eat. Remember, the emphasis here lies on the first word, give us. You see, what is of primary importance is not that we will have food to eat and clothes to wear and money to pay for our homes and taxes. No, rather, the emphasis lies on this, that all of that is given to us. We pray here for the grace of the Lord in the bread which we eat. Father, we pray. Father, give it to us in your love. Father, grant us therein your love. Ah, yes, Father, give us your love, and will you, in that love, give us our bread. Be near us, Lord, in our daily bread. Think of it. There are millions of people who eat bread every day without ever asking whether it has been given them by God. Such people know nothing about the fellowship of the covenant. But where the covenant with God is known, that the eating of bread is an exercise of fellowship with God, then the Lord is near in the bread. And then it is seen, yes, there it is confessed, the bread on our tables, Lord, it is your gift to us. Father, we are eating your bread, which you, in your love, have provided to us. Give it to us, Father, in order that we may so come to know, to come to acknowledge that you are the only source, the only fountain of all good, says the Catechism. That, you see, that is the purpose of us eating our daily bread. Remember well, the purpose of our eating is not, first of all, that our stomachs be filled and that we have that good feeling of having eaten well. Rather, the purpose of our eating is first and foremost that we acknowledge the Lord and worship Him. I've already mentioned something about our guilt in all of this. See, the wrath of God hangs as a cloud above our daily bread. We, in and by our sin, we have ruined our life. Consequently, we of ourselves are not worthy of bread. We sit at table as undeserving people. The judgment burns in our bread. Think of it. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required, said Jesus. Well, now, that includes our daily bread. It too will be required of us. Then you understand, if Christ is not in it, then the smell of the pit hangs on the aroma of that bread. But we have mentioned also the name of him in whom we may eat our daily bread. He, Jesus Christ, he is the mediator of every meal. In him and through him, the guilt is removed. See, there are joy and peace at every meal. We eat in him and in fellowship with him. That is why we have to give him glory, mediator glory, in our food and in our clothing and shelter. Remember well, the life of nature and the life of society, it all belongs to the scope of the mediator's work. Oh, it's true. Time again, people of the church also, think of the two kingdoms advocates which I mentioned this morning, people talk as though food and shelter are things that belong to nature, that is, to an area that is indeed subject to the power of God, but that is not confessed to be subject to the work of Christ, the mediator. Ah, you see, where that is done, there the joy is gone from our life, and there the comfort is lost when we face the trials of life. So often, people of the church, people eat and drink without in any way enjoying the wonder of God's love in Jesus Christ therein. The love that is revealed to us, communicated to us, in and through the blood of Christ. Such people are content to refer to the whole area of nature, of the natural life, as the area of common grace. You may have heard it. Now, I'm not going to discuss the common grace question here, but I do want to say that that way of talking, that terminology already, common grace, it estranges us from God. If we in any way mean to say thereby that we are now moving into an area of life where we can walk apart from God's love, which is ours in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. Let me say it this way. You get your bread from Christ. Oh, I know. You have worked for it. But it is nevertheless true. You receive your bread from Christ. Your clothes have been bought with His blood. Everything we require from day to day was paid for by Him. It cost Him His life. Oh yes, our daily bread has passed through the judgment of Golgotha. Christ has removed the curse from it. That's why we may taste the grace of God in our daily bread. Think of it. Every day we may eat. Ah, yes, every day we can eat because of the sacrifice of Christ. Through His atoning sacrifice, our bread becomes a well-pleasing offer to God. It is sanctified in Christ. We hold it up to the Lord. We place it before Him, so it is holy. And then we pray, give us this day our daily bread. That is, Father, give us from what is yours, from what was sanctified in Christ at the cost of His blood, give us what we need in order that it may equip us for the task to which you call us this day. Only when we so recognize Christ in the bread which we eat, will we be able to acknowledge that God is the fountain of all good. And then we acknowledge our dependence also. With the catechism we confess, and that without your blessing, Lord, neither our work and worry nor your gifts can do us any good. So help us to give up our trust in creatures, to withdraw it from all creatures, and to put our trust in you alone. It is not our work, nor our worry for that matter, that secures or provides us our daily bread. Remember it well, our work is nothing more and nothing other than a link in God's care for us. Think of it this way. The Lord uses our work to keep us in life. And those who are not willing to work, those who refuse to work, they have no right to eat, says the Bible. For they despise, yes, they rebel against the will of the Lord concerning His provision for our care. To be sure, the liberal mind militates against it. Just pay attention to the news. Nevertheless, those who eat do so not thanks to their own work. Once that is clear, we will understand why it is that all trust in the state stands condemned as a trusting in the flesh. It is, therefore, idolatry. Oh, yes, that is a difficult lesson for us. We've grown so used to expecting our welfare from the state, and a crop failure is simply not part of our planning. But with a hailstorm, God wipes out a crop. And by withholding rain, he lets a crop come to nothing. And by sending too much rain, a field cannot even be prepared for seeding. So the Lord teaches us to pray, give. Give us this day our daily bread. Father, help us. Help us to give up our trust in creatures and to put our trust in you alone. So it is. We learn to pray this petition in truth, in trust, and in faith. In nothing be anxious, says the Lord to his children. Oh, to be sure, that is not a difficult thing when bread is already on our tables. But the Lord wants us to understand, to know, to believe that also in times of great need, when there is no bread, when everything surrounding our daily life is uncertain, also then we are not to be anxious for the morrow. We are to trust in the Lord, for it is He, yes, He it is who gives us our daily bread. So we acknowledge Him today as the fountain of life, the fountain of all good. And He calls us today to hallow His name, to live in communion with His, in the communion of His love, to enjoy that fellowship also in the bread. And then, no matter what our circumstances may be, then in all things, the Lord will be our strength and our song. For He has become our salvation. Remember now, God does not buy our praise by giving us prosperity. Rather, He awakens that praise through the love of Jesus Christ. Moreover, God does not give us according to our wants. He may even give us less than we experience as our need, but He always gives us enough for us to praise His holy name. And if the Lord should then so lead us that we do experience great need, then He does that to reawaken in our hearts the praise and the worship due to Him, that so we may acknowledge Him as the source of everything good. Pray then as follows. Father, give us this day our daily bread. Then that prayer will be a pleading for His grace, and at the same time, it will be a song of praise for grace received, as so many a psalm confesses it to be. Then it will not matter so much whether we have food, but what really matters then is that the name of the Lord is glorified in our whole life. Bread and money we could ultimately do without. But we cannot do without, because we cannot live without, the love of His fellowship. We have to learn every day again what really is to be central in our life. Then, no matter how great the need may be or may in time become, it will only inspire us to sing unto the Lord. So we live in the assurance that nothing, no hunger either, nothing shall ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is ours in Jesus Christ. Then the name of the Lord will be blessed by us, whatever the circumstance of our life may be. And then our prayer is therein answered. For by day, the Lord commands his steadfast love. And at night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. Praise the Lord. Amen.